Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or just trying to make life in the rural city more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel, on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talked to Peter Bizzotto, the General Manager of Environmental Services, and Catherine Gray, the Program Manager of Business Process Management at the City of Guelph. These are the two people you want to talk to if you're interested in talking about the Solid Waste Service Review, which was recently brought to a close. If you follow along with Guelph Politico, then you probably know how the review turned out. But how did it turn out for the people that oversaw the review, and how did it affect their service? That is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. A couple of years ago, Guelph City Council approved a pilot project of three service reviews, the idea being that staff would test drive the mechanics of doing a department-by-department review of service by targeting three very specific areas: solid waste, boulevard maintenance, and transit. Solid waste was the first, and it got a lot of attention because of certain issues with the service, particularly the perception that it was regularly costing more to provide than budgeted. And as we know, a lot of that fell on the material recovery facility, or the MRF, where the city sorts all recycled waste it collects. But to get from the question of whether solid waste is as efficient as we all hope, there was still some controversy to get through. Many among the unionized outside workers of Guelph thought they smelled the city leaning towards a move to privatize, and they organized accordingly. The final date for the service review's report was pushed back twice as well. The cynical may have wondered what the city was hiding, and the announcement of layoffs at the MRF back in March certainly didn't quell the suspicion that bad news was coming. But in the end, those were just suspicions. Indeed, the interim report said that the city was delivering on solid waste in 5 out of 6 of the examined areas. After that contentious first council meeting in September, staff seemed to have become more comfortable with the process and the degree of their involvement. And in the end, 11 recommendations were made to council for their consideration, and none of them suggested even partial privatization as a potential action going forward. In the end, the report was received without much debate and a lot of forward-looking optimism about improvements to the service. But that's not the end of the story. On this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, we review the review. Peter Bizzotto and Catherine Gray sit down and talk about all points of the Solid Waste Service Review from the beginning, the middle, and the end, how they feel about the process, and how what was learned might affect the next great service review of Guelph Transit. We also talk about how staff relations changed between September and May, the looming specter of privatization that hung over this, and how and why some of the recommendations of the report were reached, and why, even though the review is over, improvement in the department is still an ongoing process. So I caught up with Peter Bizzotto and Catherine Gray earlier this week at City Hall. So Peter Bizzotto and Catherine Gray, thank you so much for joining me today. I guess to begin with, to start at the beginning, this was a pilot project. There were three service review areas chosen, and this may go more to your side of this, Catherine, but how were the three service review areas chosen? Because just from the cynical reporter's point of view, when I heard the three areas, I was like, okay, solid waste, there have been problems there. Guelph Transit, there have been problems there. Boulevard waste, having been in committee a couple of weeks ago, I know there people have some problems there too, but it almost seemed like the outlier, because I couldn't, maybe that was my bias, that I couldn't imagine there were too much problems with boulevard maintenance. But am I being too cynical there, that we chose the problem ones and one to throw us off?
So the framework itself was approved in 2016.
Right.
What we've done is, and the goal is that all services will be reviewed over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a definitive time frame, but over a period of time.
It'll take time.
when we were looking at the services that we know, when we have a clear idea of what those services entail,
mm-hmm.
And the clear definition, we assess them using a prioritization criteria. So these ones sort of came out as having a high potential impacts.
Okay.
And opportunities for improvement, and also higher risks inherent in the provision of the service.
Okay.
So the three were selected, and then we sort of looked at, okay, what is our capacity within our own department as well as the departments that are going to be reviewed?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so do we have the capacity and the complexity of the services and the reviews to sort of set out a timeline to be able to comfortably finish them all and look at everything and ensure we have all the appropriate staff and resourcing to be able to get it done?
So what I'm hearing is I was kind of right. That just from the metrics point of view, that these three areas showed the most opportunity for improvement, according to, you know, the data you were gathering.
That we currently have. Yep,
okay.
Absolutely. They had
fair
high
enough
opportunities. Now, there's lots of areas that have high opportunities, but these
sure
three sort of rose up for us. Yeah.
Topical.
Mm-hmm. Topical.
Going
time.
Okay, well, Peter, as the general manager of Environmental Services, and maybe you can speak to this because I imagine there were you're working on this from your end, and then you hear one of your departments is going to be one of the first service reviews up or one of the ones being tested. So what were your initial thoughts?
Well, we looked at it as an opportunity. So solid waste, it's no secret that solid waste has been struggling financially for a number of years. That fact has been shown through, you know, a couple of sequential budgets with significant negative variances, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
For a department where, you know, our goal is always to balance our budgets
mm-hmm
as much as possible. Budget accurately and spend well so that we balance our budgets at year end. Solid waste hasn't been able to do that, and we were focused on fixing that in the short term. The service review was another vehicle that could help us get at that in a different way. We had already formed a variance task force with membership from finance, for instance, where we were focusing in on that variance. But the service review gave us some advantages in that it's a different look.
Mm.
It's a more broad scale look, a more business focused look, not just strictly financial, because a lot of financials are driven by business decisions.
Right.
Obviously. So it helped us broaden out to zoom back in on the pieces of the business that might be driving, you know, some of the challenging parts of our financing. So the timing was right. It fit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in retrospect, and we'll talk a bit about this maybe later in the podcast, you often don't want to start with maybe one of your largest, most complex businesses with a pilot, right? But we were courageous on this, I think, and we did do that, and we've learned a lot through the process. And, you know, it's reminded us again of how complex some of these city services are that we do provide.
Right.
They seem simple on the surface, but they're
mm-hmm
not. There's a lot of, for instance, this one, if you think of an octopus, there's all those different arms going on under the surface in terms of full service delivery. So this has provided that opportunity to better understand how we approach these big, complex municipal services and get a handle on them moving forward through service reviews.
This may be a question both of you can shed light on, but one of the things you hear about is, you know, we're always looking for efficiencies. This is from city staff. You know, the various department managers are always looking for efficiencies. That comes up in the budget process every year, and having talked to Tara Baker about how that process is done, I know that is always the point of view in terms of where the yearly budget begins. So, how does a service review, and you kind of address that in terms of more broadly, but how is that different from what happens every year when you're talking about putting together budgets? Like, how is the process different?
So a service review isn't just about finding efficiency.
Okay.
Right? So it's an objective look at providing relevant service as efficiently and effectively as possible. So you need to
mm-hmm
ensure we're providing the right services at the right levels. And you always have an eye for efficiency. So are we using our resources the best we can? Are we using the right amount or too much? But the result of a service review really is a spectrum of possibilities. Everything
mm-hmm
from you shouldn't be providing this service or in this business to we need a utopian state of, you know, $800 million. But
right,
just, you know, being facetious, but and anywhere in between. So it's not just we don't go in with any preconceived outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have an agenda to find something or not find something. It's
mm-hmm
really looking at what we're doing and are we providing the right services to the best of our ability and the effective service.
That flash forwards a bit to where the service review ended up, because I think people hear efficiencies, or they see the word efficiencies and they hear cuts, or they hear like savings, and primarily cost savings. But when the final report comes back, you have suggestions like, you know, increasing curbside collection for yard waste and expanding services and changing hours. Can you talk a bit about, you know, those expectations? Because I think, you know, and maybe speaking anecdotally, people expect what these reviews will conclude is, where is the leaks? And what came back is, we need more pipe. There are no leaks, we just need more pipe. If that's an appropriate analogy.
A bit of both. Yeah. You're right. That's something we've learned through the process, and that, you know, the key municipal services that we cherish, things that are necessary, like waste pickup, you know, we can always do things better, maybe do things more efficiently, save money. But there's a service level expectation as well. Yard waste is a really good example of that with solid waste. In the city, we've flirted for years with the idea of more frequent yard waste pickup at the curb. We've never quite pulled the trigger on it, but most of our neighbors have. And we find a lot of our customers who know of that expect more. So they pay, you know, they pay for our service through their property taxes,
right?
Like, you know, those residents in other communities that are getting that service. And there's now a standard level of service provided around us that we're not meeting.
And we have a lot of people moving, a lot of new people moving into town. And
so, you know, it boils down then to, what are you willing to pay for, and then what do you expect for what you're paying?
Right.
In terms of the service you're receiving. And that does all come out in the service review, and you're right. Sometimes we're paying too much, so we're looking for efficiencies, and other times we may be paying, but the service level isn't quite where we need it to be. And we're finding, you know, we find through the service review, customers want more. And in some cases, if they have to pay for more, they're willing to pay for more. And that may just be the case with things like, well, we're seeing that is the case with enhanced multi-residential waste pickup.
Right.
We're expanding the program out there. And, you know, the customers have told us at the podium in council that they're willing to pay more for that. We suspect there's a bit of that as well with yard waste.
Right.
And one of the recommendations centers around enhancing yard waste pickup at the curb.
Did you have any assumptions before the results came back? Like, did you think, like, I bet they'll find this out? Like, something like the yard waste thing?
Yeah, we knew. We knew generally before we started that there were some service levels that we were providing that weren't consistent with, say, our neighbors. So we had a sense of this early. The service review, again, I think the beauty of it is it kind of looks at this all holistically and brings it all together as a holistic look at the business, rather than sometimes at budget we can get caught piecemeal, looking at one specific element of our service. And, you know, looking at that through expansion or whatever, but we don't really understand the big picture.
Right. Like a specific expansion item comes back, and because council is in, has a desire to mitigate a tax increase, they don't look at the big picture of not hiring that person would affect.
And, you know, there are, like, we do understand from our customers that desire to save money, but there's also a desire to be serviced. You know, customers want us to look after certain things for them, waste, water, wastewater. They want those things to be addressed municipally well.
Right.
You know, those services are in demand, let's say.
Catherine, I wanted to ask maybe a philosophical question, as I want to do it sometimes on my podcast, but the interim report came back with, said 5 out of 6 of the areas we're looking at are doing exactly what we need them to do, or they are meeting our expectations, or working well as compared to people in our comparator municipalities. And I think that's probably new, music to your ears, being the GM. But having now seen the results of a second service review, the boulevard maintenance, it's like, yes, as compared to our municipalities, we're getting good service for our money. And I'm wondering, is there an expectation, maybe now or maybe before, like, because, you know, the people in these departments are living this every single day and are trying to deliver the best service they can, that there's the expectation that probably 9 out of 10 times our services at City Hall are doing what they should be doing and should be delivering, and that this is kind of a hunt for that needle in the haystack. That most of the haystack is the hay, but there's that one thing.
So I don't know that I would say I assume 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
Right.
We may provide services that other municipalities don't provide the same, or vice versa.
Right.
benchmarking is a way to look at what else is going on around us, right? So maybe somebody does something particularly well, or maybe we do something particularly well, but it's having that understanding of where we fit with other municipalities or other organizations that provide similar types of service. But it's, I don't, in any service review or any aspect of it, I don't really have a, I think it's going to be this, or I think it's going to be that. Because the nature of a service review is you don't know what you don't know until you go out and look. So, I mean, now as a municipality, we've been providing service a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we do know how to provide service and, you know, city runs well. There's always things to learn, and that's really what this is about, is learning.
We could maybe use a sports analogy. Yeah. So if you thought that the city providing services was a sports team competing at a local level.
Okay.
You know, as we compete from game to game, we're always trying to get better. That's the continuous improvement piece. And thrown in there is that budget cycle you referred to, where we, you know, we try and build efficiencies in with each budget and save money and do things for less. In each budget cycle, that's daily business. The service review lets you step outside that for a second, compare yourselves to others where you may not normally do that. So we're going to pull the sports team out now, and we're going to bring in a national level team and let them try it against that national level team. Best in class.
Right.
Then we get a sense of where we're at. On the local level, hey, it felt like we were doing really good. Now when we look at that best in class, wow, there's some gaps. Or as Catherine said, maybe we can compete on some of those best in class things with that national level team. What we learn from that, we can then back apply at the local level and get better at what we do. And really the service view, it's a check-in. What one of the things that I learned really through this, and I didn't get this initially, it's a snapshot check-in. It's like taking that old Kodachrome shot of that service at one point in time and then seeing how it compares from different angles. And then on that, you can start making some really good decisions on what, you know, what additional continuous improvement you've got to work on, or what you've got that's working well, so don't monkey with it.
Right. Well, the younger listeners can ask their parents about what a Kodak is. I wanted to talk about can you talk about why there was a delay in the final report? Because it was pushed back a couple of times.
It was. So I think, you know, some of that alludes to how complex this whole review has been. Those six business processes we had to get a handle on, where they really hadn't been defined that concretely in the past. And in doing that, we also found out that the one was significantly underperforming, and rather than wait and delay action on addressing that underperforming, we kind of split that one off into a parallel stream and started addressing those issues immediately. That resulted in some staff reductions, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, around February, March-ish, you know, that we've shared with the community. And we're now out of a contract for processing, you know, another municipality's waste. So that delayed the process as well, because we actually got into some fixing instead of just following the service review right to the end with recommendations for fixing. We just jumped right into it, and that delayed some of the recommendations.
I did want to ask about that. You know, it's, I mean, it was obvious to see the MRF stood out in that interim report. So why make the moves, particularly the staff moves, right away?
I think it became obvious and confirmed through the work of the service review that we had to. We were into a situation there that just wasn't benefiting our ratepayers. We were losing money on a contract. So it didn't make any sense any way we looked at it to continue. So the sooner we could get out of that, the better.
And I guess that there was something immediate to that, too, that you could, you know, a lot of the other recommendations of the 11 are things that are going to have to be further vetted.
Yeah, they're future looking, and they require some implementation strategies and such. This one, it was cut and dried. We just need to stop doing this work. It's not benefiting us, and, you know, that's what we're there for, is to make sure we're looking after our ratepayers as well.
The other piece you mentioned with the Simcoe County and taking their recyclables, was that a bad deal?
Well, I think judging a deal, you know, it can be judged different ways depending on what perspective you're judging it on. That municipality put out that contract for others to bid on. And we, Guelph, selectively bid on it and won the bid. So we went into that contract full well with the bid that we had submitted and won on with eyes wide open. So that was our choice. We weren't forced into that. Simcoe's request, like any other municipal request, was very straightforward. They're looking for somebody to process their recyclables.
Mm.
You know, so there wasn't anything bad about the contract from that perspective. We entered into something where we thought we could perform at a certain level, and we couldn't.
Mm.
Is basically the bottom line. We couldn't perform in a way that we could make money or break even processing those recyclables with the facility we've got and the way we're structured.
Mm-hmm.
And that became our immediate conclusion, confirmed through the service review.
Mm.
And then we took action to end the contract.
So what's the lesson there then that, from what I gather, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the way Simcoe gathers its recyclables is different from the way Guelph gathers its recyclables. So is that just a matter of next time, maybe buyer beware, and we have to, make sure that the way our facility works is compatible with the way another municipality does their collection?
I think a business-like approach to understanding your strengths and weaknesses and your bottom line cost impacts if you're entering into third-party agreements.
Mm.
These are very complex matters. They're not simple matters.
Right. I wanted to talk about the staff relations portion of this, too, because I'm sure you'll both recall that the outside workers were very fired up ahead of the return of the interim report, and I think some accusations were made about how open the city was being with the employees. And then it was interesting to watch the final report come back, and everyone seemed to be really pleased with the process. So what happened in those 6 months?
So, again, it was the first one.
Right.
So there's always, preconceived fear or whatnot that may be out there. But reviews are collaborative, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So these reviews are collaborative approaches to continuous improvement. So it's not any one or two people coming in and assessing. It's collaborative with staff.
Mm-hmm.
And we involved everybody
mm-hmm.
as much as possible. So we did champion, staff involvement and transparency, and as the review happened, that became clearer, and that sort of built out with staff. So just as we move through the process,
trusting
a lot of communication. So
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of communication that happens in a review, and as we move forward, as more and more communication happened, then it allowed the trust and transparency to be there with staff.
Mm-hmm.
And right from, to give credit, council and senior staff, right from the get-go, wanted the employees, the staff, to be involved in this process. They didn't want to choose a service review strategy that brought in a third party at a distance,
right,
assessed the service, presented a report, and left.
Mm-hmm.
We were all in this. Staff were helping us define these businesses of which they're a part of,
mm-hmm.
as well as the union that represents them.
Mm-hmm.
And both council and senior staff wanted the union to come along with us, because we're in this together, whether we like it or not. We deliver the services through our staff, through our unionized staff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an understanding of that from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And as Catherine said, all kinds of communications, actions taken to bring everybody along. The lines person working in the MRF, the collections driver, our PDO staff who greet you when you come to drop off hazardous waste or some of your yard waste, all the way through to our union executive, who know that in other communities, some of these services are at risk of privatization.
Right.
We wanted to bring all those folks along in an open and transparent process. And I think you saw the results of that in that final meeting.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think privatization was... Or contracting out services,
yes,
was the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And I think there was a perception of, let's say, some on city council that privatization was more of a priority.
Right.
I was looking at the service review website, and it says right there, it's like, here's what we're looking at. Does it make more sense for us business-wise to do this in-house? Does it make more sense business-wise for us to look at sending it out? I understand, and from your point of view, Catherine, you're going to say those are the options. Either it's working for us in-house, or we can make it work in-house, or we have to look elsewhere. But I think for the working man and woman, there's an obvious specter there, and perhaps political influence being what it is, that, you know, one thing might be looked at more than the other, and that would be the privatization angle. So it's, you know, I'm not sure what you could add to that, but I guess I'm wondering about is the communications factor in this. But beforehand, I think there was a talking to some of the workers, there was a concern that this was not that you were guys were working towards that conclusion, but there might be pressure to work towards that conclusion.
Yeah, there's always uncertainty when you start a pilot service review of a complex business,
mm-hmm.
where one of the options is to look at third-party service delivery. There's got to be concern.
Mm-hmm.
If people are concerned, they wouldn't care about their jobs.
Right.
So that just comes with it. So then really it's the process, like we said, that conscious decision to involve folks who deliver the service and looking at the service and figuring out how well it's doing. You know, and the good news with this service review, I'll say in my area, the outcome is we didn't find, for instance, that we're way off the private sector,
mm-hmm.
other than that one area.
Mm-hmm.
All right? 5 out of the 6 were certainly competitive or more cost effective than some of our private sector counterparts. And, you know, the service review reminded us of how much of a stake our staff have in this service that they provide. A lot of them live in Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
They receive the same services that they deliver.
Right.
They're proud of them. They're proud to deliver them to themselves and their neighbors. You know, and that pays off. That pays off for the community.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of tying up the review, I think one of the recurring themes of what we've been talking about today is this was a huge project. I mean, even so much as service reviews are a huge project, this service review in particular was huge. So what do you take away going forward, now that you're going to leave Peter alone and move on to somebody else? But what are you taking with you in terms of the mechanics and how this was done?
So whether your review is large and complex, like solid waste, which was rather massive,
mm-hmm.
Or smaller, like something like Boulevard Maintenance,
mm-hmm.
the process remains the same.
Okay.
It's a standardized, repeatable method to do this. So it's just how much of it you have to do and how much data there is to look at and how many people, we're getting involved and community and how much engagement activity. And so there's just a different level of activity that has to happen, but the same steps, the same process will continue to happen. And that's the only way you get good standardized, repeatable results is if your methodology stays the same.
Okay.
You know, there's tweaks here and there, but the overall methodology is a proven methodology over years in many industries. So,
mm-hmm.
It's really just the number of people and the level of engagement and the level of involvement, really, to ensure that you plan appropriately for all of that, given the level of complexity.
I guess thinking on behalf of the listener, is, you know, we're in the middle now of the transit review, mm-hmm. which transit is a big service that affects a lot of people too, but it's a very different service from solid waste. So, you know, in terms of that methodology, how does the methodology of one transfer to the other?
So when you're doing a service review, essentially there's 5 phases of work,
mm-hmm.
right? So the information that you're taking in will vary between services, but
right.
the approach of the 5 phases. So you need to figure
okay.
out what it is you do now.
Okay.
So what is the service we provide now? How does it perform? What are the different factors that can impact that service? How could we improve it? And how do we sustain those improvements in the long term? How do we ensure the right controls are in place? And really, they can happen in any conjunction with each other. They don't have to be one after the other.
Mm.
It's just the amount of data that you're looking at or the complexity of the service itself. But those 5 phases are what you follow, right? You can't really get to the end without figuring out where you are now. So,
right.
So whether it be transit or whether it be IT or solid waste or any other service, it's going to follow that sort of same 5-phase approach.
Okay. And having said all that, what would you do differently, knowing what you know now? How would the service review process work, or maybe something you're putting into effect now, when you're looking at transit? Is there a difference in terms of the way you thought this was going to go before you started and where you are now, having done two?
I don't know that we would change a whole lot in the process. I think one of the biggest values for the process was some of the consistency and the development of these communications methods and the way to be interact with staff and interact with the community, and it really allowed us to sort of learn the best approaches and to develop those sort of consistency and practice to move forward with. So what it's given us is the ability to maybe do a couple things a little faster because we've sort of learned from that, and now we're able to build on that and to continue with that in sort of a standardized process, so that whether we're talking to staff in any service or the community, they're clear, and it ensures that consistency in message and communication.
How about you, Peter? What have you taken away from all this? And you know, how is what you've learned through this process going to affect your job going forward?
So Adam, as we've talked a bit about this already, we've certainly come to understand our business in a more sophisticated way, and it is a complex business, as we've said a number of times.
Mm.
You know, that learning will carry over, and we'll apply that now as we move forward, and we now start focusing better on our continuous improvement pieces. You know, this is that normal league game stuff that we're going to be carrying on doing between budgets. We've learned about the strengths of the corporate staff up here that can support us. Like, we've got folks that support us in HR, finance, purchasing, legal, etc. We've formed some really good multidisciplinary teams delivering the service review. Those relationships and those teams still exist now to help us continue to grow and improve our businesses moving forward. So we've got that to build on. Again, because we did all this in-house, it wasn't a third party coming in from somewhere else, service reviewing us and then disappearing, right? So we've got that to build on moving forward, which we're looking forward to. The importance of benchmarking, as Catherine said.
Mm-hmm.
It is important to step out of looking at yourself at times and start comparing yourselves to others. Then come back and address your own stuff. So that kind of discipline we're going to build into more of what we do at Environmental Services moving forward. We do a lot of benchmarking right now at Water Services with other water utilities, and that's really paid off. We're starting to do a bit of that now at Wastewater to try and improve the level of service we provide there for the customer and our efficiencies. So those are some of the key learnings we've got out of the service review to date. So for us, it's been a very productive process. We're looking forward to it happening in those other areas. Eventually, it'll work its way to water and wastewater, and we'll keep growing from there.
So the too long didn't read of that is not all the problems are solved, but you have a better idea of where to attack the problems now.
And processes to get at attacking and fixing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's one thing to find a problem, but you've also got to get good at fixing it then, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to build that strength on your team. And the service review has helped us with that.
And there will be outside pressures, of course, because you're waiting for provincial mandates.
Yeah, got to do more with less.
Yeah.
Yeah, and changes coming to solid waste through pending legislation, yes.
Yeah. Because that seems to be the big, maybe, gap, you know, in so much as, you know, you work with the information you have, but, you know, you're looking at, you know, some pretty big changes maybe in the next couple of years, and we don't know what that's going to look like because there's a new government too in Ontario.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So where do service reviews go from here once transit is done? I mean, are you even thinking that far ahead? I mean, these seem pretty big in their own right.
So absolutely. Yeah. So the goal is to continue doing service reviews every year and to ultimately do all the services that we provide.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a continuous improvement cycle. So again, someday we'll be back at solid waste. Not anytime soon. We have a lot of services to
be ready for you.
And also building that, again, like Peter said, that capacity and capability and skill sets within the staff doing the service reviews and participating to be able to do a lot of these things on their own. And then these continuous improvement activities and so we'll be working towards a multi-year plan. So there is some work going on in the background to sort of get us to where a multi-year plan to get through the rest of the services. We don't have it defined as of yet.
Right.
So we're working on transit and other areas of the organization, but yeah.
Okay. Well, this, I guess the long story short is everybody's walked away happy with the service improvement, and I guess that's that's the best you guys could have hoped for. Correct me if I'm wrong. Well, Peter Bezzato and Catherine Gray, thank you so much for letting me pick your brains about the service review.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And once again, that was Peter Bezzato and Catherine Gray. The results and feedback from the Solid Waste Service Review can be found on the city's website under the City Government section. The final report from the Boulevard Maintenance Service Review will be voted on by City Council next week, and the Service Review of Guelph Transit is expected to be back earlier next year, if all goes according to plan. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. And you can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.